Well, the gospel comes from the first chapter of John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. So, if you've ever been... one mic is sufficient. If you've ever watched any movie, there's a standard motif. Now, if you haven't seen the first Star Wars movie, I'm sorry, because I'm going to give away a spoiler. But like in that movie and in most movies, there's always a point where someone does some kind of sacrifice for the greater good, right? So in Star Wars, there's a point where Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you know who that is, great. If you don't, well, then you don't know who that is. But he is mentoring another student of his, and they're trying to escape the student with some other people, and they're getting ready to go on the Millennium Falcon. And Obi-Wan, who is a master Jedi with lots of wisdom, he's facing off Darth Vader, the evil one. So it's good against evil, and what's going to happen? And they have a battle with their lightsabers, you know, which are laser swords, if you know what those are. And so there's a moment where he stops the fight, and Vader's like, "What's going on?" And then he strikes him, and he disappears. The heroes get away, and the movie continues, and then 8 movies later, we're at the current movie right now. So that's the basics of Star Wars. But there's that theme of sacrifice. It's always been that theme. Now, go backwards even further to Genesis 22. There's a story there about Abraham and his son Isaac. And it's a story that's quite a conundrum, because in this story, you have God saying, "Go and make a sacrifice on the mountain and take your son." And so Abraham says, "Okay." And does that, gets all the supplies, gets all the wood, gets everything going. And they go up on the mountain, and there's servants, and then the servants stop, and Abraham says, "I'll take it from here." And they go up, and they go, and they build the altar, and they get ready to make sacrifice, this sacrifice, and there's no lamb for the sacrifice. There's no sacrifice other than Abraham's son. And the son's like, "What's going on?" And Abraham is just doing what God told him to do. And he gets ready and he gets the knife out. And if you've ever seen a sacrifice, at least of a lamb, or if you've ever seen how lambs are sacrificed, it's not pretty. So this was going to be bad. And the blade goes up. Now boom! I don't know if that's what a ram sounds like. I have no idea. But there's a ram in the thicket suddenly. And God provides this escape for Abraham, this lamb, this sacrifice. He doesn't sacrifice his son, and he says, good job, Abraham, for listening. But it's a tough story, because if you're a parent, it's just a tough story. Now, God saves the day. Isaac doesn't get sacrificed. Good stuff happens, the people of Israel grow. Fast forward then to this time of Jesus. And here's John the Baptist saying, that guy right there is the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. Of the whole world. Not just us who are Jewish, of the whole world. Just like it said in our reading in Isaiah. Just like the prophets talked about. There'll be someone coming, this Son of God, will take away the sins of the whole world. He'll be the light to the nations. But unlike most every movie, and unlike that story in Genesis, when God sends his son Jesus, we know what happens, right? Jesus doesn't get saved, right? He dies, we crucify him, everyone abandons him. And that's a sad story. Now, that's not our faith story. That's not the end of the story. But I think that was a way for God to say, that's enough. 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 I've known you forever, people of God. But enough is enough. If you can't listen to my son, well, that's enough. And so what happens? Jesus is raised from the dead and becomes the Lamb who was slain, who takes away the sins of the world. That's the picture we have there. That's our image. I look at that every Sunday, that Lamb, and I always think about that. That's not the way I would want it. I would want someone to save my son. Like in the Abraham story, I want the movie to end good triumphs. So that's the power and the mystery of this symbol, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we now, because of Jesus, who saves the whole world, not just Jewish people back in 2,000 years ago, but the whole world gets saved by this act. This mysterious, enough is enough God act. Not my story, not my script, not the way I would want to do it. It's the way it is. We become the people of the Lamb. Now in the Gospel of John, what does it mean to take away the sins of the world? It requires sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what does that mean for us if we're the people of the Lamb? Well, it might require some sacrifice. Now, what is sacrifice? What does that mean? In John's Gospel, it means love. So this is what I want you to think about. You will be someone's sacrifice. That's how love works. You will be someone's sacrifice. That's how love works. If you've been a parent, if you've parented anyone, if you've cared for a child, that's love. That's sacrifice. That's how it works. If you're in a partnership with someone, you decide to get married, as I chose with Pastor Beth, who's doing well, recovering nicely. She'll be here soon, so it's not always going to be me. Just hang on. Pastor Beth's coming. But in that long relationship of ours, for example, of 32 plus years now, love requires sacrifice. If you're going to make it, you got to sacrifice. That's how love works. You know that, right? I mean, we know that. As people, love requires sacrifice. You will be someone's sacrifice. That's how love works. In the very end of this Gospel of John, there's this scene with Peter. Jesus has been resurrected. God's love for us in the world required Jesus' sacrifice. That's God's story for us. You can accept that or not. I'm choosing to accept it. I'm choosing to be forgiven. Know the grace of God, God's mercy and love through the Lamb of God. So there's this scene where Jesus, the resurrected one, the resurrected Lamb, is talking with Peter. And three times he asks, "Do you love me? Do you love my people?" And then the answer is always, Jesus says, "So feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. You will be someone's sacrifice." That's how love works. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus was with the disciples and he called them friends. And he said, "This is what love looks like." And he put on an apron and he washed their feet, which should be a sacrament. It should be, at least in our Lutheran church, a third sacrament. Baptism, we remember that our sins are forgiven through the water and the Spirit. The bread and wine we share and remember Jesus and forgiveness. And then that washing of the feet. Love takes sacrifice. They'll know that we're Christians by our love. That's what Jesus said. That's the Gospel of John. It's a great song, another love song. But that's our marker. What's that going to look like? And in the end, all of Scripture again and again reminds us how you're doing with the poor. That's a pretty good sign of how you're doing with love and sacrifice. Are you taking care of yourself? That's good. Are you taking care of your neighbor and your family? That's great. Are you taking care of this community in St. Mark? That's great. Are you taking care of the rest of the world? Because the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the whole world. How are we doing? That's a marker. You will be someone's sacrifice. That's how love works. This Lamb of God, it's a powerful image. I used to not like it. But the older I get, and, well, you know, my kids are 18 and 22. Whew, all right, I have a little better understanding of love than I did 22 years ago. It's amazing. And being with Beth, that long-term perspective. And just living the life of love in the church sacrifice. Jesus calls us to be a light to the world. That's why we're in Epiphany right now. A manifestation. You will be someone's sacrifice. That's how love works. We are the people of the Lamb. That's how love works. Amen.